Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We want to talk about on today's program, is there a war on police officers? If you've been watching this program just even recently, we've discussed what is happening when we see police officers being executed at a gas station, when we see them being killed and murdered sitting in their police cars. And so now with a new poll, according to Fox News, many Americans believe there's actually a war on police officers. In fact, the reports are 58% of Americans agree that there's a war on police officers. What has happened in our society now where we ever thought that we would see a day where police officers would now become targets? And I want to share with you a disturbing call that was received by the Aurora Police Department in Denver, in Colorado, where this is what they received in 911. According to Fox News, this is what the caller said. "It is time that you guys know we are no longer playing around with police departments. Aurora and Denver, we are about to start striking fear, shooting down all cops that we see by themselves. This will go for sheriff's departments. You guys are evicting innocent people. Let us catch you by yourself," and shots fired. I mean, this is what's happening right now as we speak. And it's important that we stay alert and that we stand with our police officers in our communities. They filter so much of criminal element that's happening all around us that we have no idea. As we've taken our children to sporting events, to different school activities, as we sleep at night in the comfort and the safety of our home, we're able to do that because men and women signed up for a job to serve and to protect. And I think a lot of times that gets missed in all of the dialogue and all the things that have happened and are happening. And some of these things are legitimate concerns. But how we address these concerns and how we deal with these issues makes all the difference. We must be a people of civility. We must be a people of dialogue. But we don't just murder and execute and say we have open season on all police officers. Can we begin to imagine a world? Can you imagine your city, your community, with no law enforcement? Well, I want you to watch right now Lydia Marquez. She is a 20-year veteran of the Miami-Dade Police Department. And her son asked her, she was getting ready for work one morning, why are you a police officer? And as she thought about that and meditated on that, she felt compelled to make a video and to answer that question from her heart. I don't think that we get a chance to really look into the hearts of those that serve us. And she begins to share why she became a police officer. And that video now has went viral with over 1 million views. I want you to listen and experience what she is sharing with you. We all need to get a glimpse of this reality because these are men and women that are putting themselves in the line every single day for us. Watch this.
Hi. As you can see, I am a police officer. I have been one for 20 years. I'm white. I'm Hispanic. I'm a female. I'm a mom of two, a four-year-old and a two-year-old. And this morning, my son asked me, when he saw me getting ready for work, "Mommy, you going to work?" And I said yes, and like a typical, you know, four-year-old, that glorious question of why. I looked at him and I thought about it. I just saw the news, how another officer was ambushed. I spent most of the night thinking about doing this video. And right then and there, I decided I was going to do it because it needs to be heard. I answered my son, my four-year-old, as my two-year-old was next to him looking up at me. And I told him, because mommy cares. Mommy cares. I care. When you fill out any official document for credit, a job, anything, it asks you what your ethnicity is. It asks you what your gender is. It asks you if you're black, if you're white, if you're Hispanic, if you're American Indian, if you're Asian, It asks you all those personal questions. Yet when you call 911, the person who answers the phone doesn't stop you and ask you any of those questions. No. They ask you, what's your emergency? How can we help you? And you tell them what the issue is, because if you call 911, it's because you need help. Be it that's fire that responds, be it that's us, be it that's both of us. You need help, because if not, you wouldn't have dialed 911. And we get the call. Our dispatcher then gives us the call. We basically are told if we need to respond in lights and sirens, or if we respond routine. And we're putting our lives out on the line here. Because we're going to you because you need us. Not knowing exactly what we're going into. And people don't understand that. We don't ask that dispatcher, hold on, wait, is this a black person who's calling? Is this a white person who's calling? That doesn't matter because we don't care. We don't care at all. It's not about color. It's not about any of that. It's about the fact that all lives matter. I have accommodations, I have pins, I have all those glorious things, and they're all in a closet in the bottom, in a box, collecting dust, because I don't want any of that pinned on me. I don't want any of my accommodations pins. I don't want any of that. The only thing I want pinned on me is my badge. Because when I received my badge, I swore an oath. I swore that I was going to protect and serve all people. Not blacks, not whites. None of that. The oath is colorblind. It doesn't care about all that. And all of us that have these badges don't care about all that either. Yeah, we all have our bad apples. Who doesn't? And people forget that. When you're running away from something because you're in fear for your life, we're running into it. When I kiss my children in the morning before I go to work and tell them I love them, I don't know if I'm going to be coming back at the end of the day. I don't know, especially nowadays. And it's hard. It's really hard. But I'm here. Why? Because I care. All lives matter. Everyone's life matters.
Wow. That was riveting. She shares a real heartfelt feeling. She is a police officer. Why? Because she wants to protect. And when many people are calling 911 in their point of emergency, that's the thing about an emergency, that's the thing about an accident. A lot of times you don't know, you don't have warning, you don't even know that you're going to be a victim. You don't know that something's going to happen in your home, in your place of business. You weren't expecting those things. You were just driving down the road and all of a sudden something happened and you called for help. And you're expecting that when you call for help, 911, someone is going to come. And they do come, and they do help, not knowing what they're going to be facing, if they're being set up, but they come in because you are in danger. And I think that we need to be sober-minded about everything that we're seeing all across our screens today, and really get a glimpse of who are these people that are serving us every day, and how we can begin to start appreciating them. I just heard of a story of a young man who gets behind a female police officer, and I forgot what part of the country this was, and he says, ma'am, I'd like to stand behind you because I want to make sure that nothing happens to you. I think that it's time that we become very supportive of the ones that are filtering so many of the things that we're facing, and many, many people do. I want you to see a report from CBS4 in Miami-Dade as they highlight what happened with this police officer, and they begin to share what is happening in South Florida with police officers and their police cars. Watch this.
Thank you so very much for everyone's support. It's been phenomenal.
Friday afternoon, we met the woman behind the Facebook post.
I spoke for those of us who couldn't. And I'm proud of that.
I've
Marquez said it took her days and lots of courage to say what she did, but she realized that even if other officers couldn't speak their minds, she had to. And her comments came just hours before someone smashed a window in a Miami-Dade police car outside the officer's home in Miami Springs. Earlier this year, someone torched two South Florida police cars in front of their homes, and someone shot up two other police cars.
The fact that we're going back and that we're targeted, because we are being targeted. You don't just go into a block and go eeny, meeny, miny, moe and pick the police car to break into it. With everything that's been happening, it has grown so much that I'm amazed how most of us officers are even coming in.
Did you hear that? She's amazed. With everything that's going on, she is amazed that most officers are still coming in. This is something we need to think about. Is this something that we want to see in our community? Well, it's not happening in my community right now. Not yet. But what happens if there's a ripple effect, the momentum that begins? Listen, Rick Joyner talked about an evil that's been unleashed upon America. If we don't stand for law enforcement and those that are serving and protecting, our communities are going to suffer. It's time that we stand behind them. Was that amazing?
Oh, yes.
Lydia Marquez, 20-year veteran of the Miami-Dade Police Department, and she said it, I think, so well, and I think she spoke for so many that have experienced what she's been experiencing. Mm-hmm. It must be very difficult and challenging knowing that you're leaving every single day your home, that, you know, you have a life too. You have a family. You have children. You have parents to protect people. And if we're not careful, I mean, can you imagine? I mean, the enemy loves to lie to all of us. But can you imagine the lies that, why am I doing this? And nobody cares. And I went into this profession to do a service, and because there are a few bad apples, I'm associated with them all. And that is true. I mean, there are clearly some injustices. There are clearly some bad apples in the bunch. You can't deny that. It's true. I've experienced it. However, it doesn't mean that everyone in law enforcement is not doing a good job. It doesn't mean that. That's just like in any profession, whether it's a doctor, teachers, yeah, there's challenges. Yeah, there's some people that don't need to be teaching.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yes, there's some people that do not need to be doctors. Absolutely. Agreed. But the question is, how do we properly respond to these issues? And do we allow very serious issues that need to be addressed to be co-opted by a rebellious few that would want to take this to an extreme? There's a narrative being promulgated out there. Anything to destroy and pull down authority. And it really causes me to think about the word that Rick Joyner talked about, mm-hmm. about the bowels of hell being open, what he saw over the United States, and evil going everywhere. You know, I think about Hurricane Katrina and watching, you know, they just had an anniversary, I think it was 10 years for Hurricane Katrina, and just to see on TV and to see and how in 4 days, four days, that city lost all civility. I remember watching on a TV screen and my heart breaking when I saw these children and these families that were running to the stadium. I believe it's a Superdome. The bathrooms were horrific. The people were hot. There was no AC. It was chaos and pandemonium. And there was very few police officers in the area. When there's crisis, evil people with bad intentions capitalize on that. And I think that we've been so naive for so long. Mm-hmm. You may think because you live in a nice community and nothing ever happens and you're not aware that there was a murder or a robbery in your area. You weren't aware that someone was raped down the street or in a subdivision nearby. You weren't aware of those things. And so we go and live our lives not understanding that there are some things that happen in our community that are horrific. But what happens if there was nobody there? What happens? Your community can change overnight. And so I think that, yes, there's a dialogue that has to take place. Yes, there's a conversation that needs to happen, definitely. But how we approach this and how we talk, and I'm talking to believers, that we need to, as Romans 13 says, all authority is established by God. And so how do we respond to these things? I think that, that one of the ways we can begin is to give honor where honor is due. And we definitely want to stand and be there for our law enforcement. I want to encourage you today to add law enforcement to your prayers. Maybe you may be compelled to do something nice and stop a person in law enforcement today and say, hey, I'm standing with you. I'm praying for you. Maybe visit your local sheriff's department or police department and bring them some cookies. Do something. But let them know that, hey, no matter what's being promulgated across television screens, no matter that narrative, there's people in their community that stands with them and is looking out for them. In fact, I heard of a report of a citizen coming to a police officer's defense and saying, no, that's not going to happen. It was somewhere in the country, and he was being beat up. He was being attacked. And another police officer saw this going down, and he jumped in there. I mean, another citizen saw a police officer being attacked, and he jumped in and was able to help the police officer. We need to do all that we can in the time that we have to do it, because we need them standing with us.
Absolutely.
And we want to stand with them.
Absolutely.
We want to stand with them. You know, as we transition, we see these things happening, Steve, and we think, well, you know, evil is ramping up. Things are happening with ISIS, the economy. And we can get so storm-driven that we totally miss that God is getting ready to do something amazing in our country. He's getting ready to do something amazing in this world. And we believe that a revival, a huge revival, is upon us. Maybe even a third great awakening. Listen, our only hope in America and really for the world is Jesus Christ. And we're going to be talking about today's program how in Cuba, Steve, they realized that, that when Russia and Cuba and all these things that they were trying to do together was falling apart, they had nothing. Their economy, I think they make $20 to $30 a month. And they begin to start crying out to God. They began to see God move in powerful and wondrous ways. When we get back from this break, we're going to begin to share with you some things that are happening in the United Kingdom with David's Tent. Young people that are coming all over the world for 3 days of 24 hours of worship and seeking the heart of God, the presence of God. It is beautiful. It is amazing. And I think that there's a cry. There's a cry in many people's lives that say, listen, there's got to be more. Yes, this evil is happening. Yes, this stuff is happening in our nation. Yes, I've never seen America in the state that it is today. But God, listen, don't ever count God out, because God is not through with America and he's not through with you.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.